Hello, 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 and welcome to another edition of the Frequency Friday Show. I am your one and only host, Mondragon. Welcome. I hope everybody's having a great, great Friday afternoon. Staying inside as well. You know, of course. All staying inside here. Got a little bit to talk about. Not much. Like I said, it's that quarantine time. A lot of artists aren't going outside. Everybody's staying home, you know, as we should be. So, let's get straight to it. First off, we got Wiz Khalifa with the saga of Wiz Khalifa. A short little project, EP / mixtape. 7 tracks long, I do gotta say so. It's like I said, it's very short, 21 minutes. You know Wiz Khalifa. You know what he likes to rap about. And, you know, if you have that camp, you're gonna like this. A lot of features, you know, features in every song. We got Meg Thee Stallion in the first one, Quavo second one. Then we got, you know, a single, just him by himself in one of the tracks. Then we have Mustard, Tyga, K-Camp, and Logic. I don't know what Logic has been up to, man, but let me tell you this. He did a very weird singing feature, which I think, you know, looking back at Logic's catalog, and I don't want to focus on Logic too much, but he tried to do singing a lot more often in his, you know, latest putting out of music. And this didn't sound so good, in my opinion, right? I think we need to get back to, like, Logic being more creative in his music. And right now, he just doesn't seem to be on top of things. I do gotta say so myself. So, besides that Logic track, every other track is actually pretty solid, pretty fun, and very good. You know, Wiz Khalifa always puts out music, you know, for his audience, and this is definitely for his audience only. And for, you know, if it goes mainstream, it might go, but I highly doubt that. This is just, you know, a taste of what's to come. I do see him putting an album this year, most likely. I think he did not put out, no, he did put an album last year, but it wasn't that good because, you know, I think the LA sound right now, last year was going through a transition, and kind of Roddy Ricch has kind of cemented it into what it should sound like. And there's a lot of LA artists that are also, like, you know, making the sound much more palatable for, you know, outside listeners of the Cali scene. But yeah. I think Wiz Khalifa can put out a much better project, and he certainly showed potential of that with this EP. Actually pretty good, so I'll give it like a 6 out of 10. Like I said, it didn't impress me, but it was enjoyable to listen. Fun little short listen, 21 minutes, so I don't, you know, hold that against him. But yeah, then we move to K-Camp with Kiss 5. I had not known who K-Camp was. Well, I knew. Let me explain myself. I forgot I knew K-Camp. That's the best way of putting it. Because I remember K-Camp way back 15, 14. He was really popping back then with that one album he put on, Only Way Is Up. That album went crazy. Kind of made him, you know, stay. But then after that, I kind of didn't hear from him. And looking at his catalog, he did continue to put out music. But Man, it felt really quiet around K-Camp. So, he just put out an album. And I forget that he's a rapper. Because his big single off of Only Way Is Up is an R&B record, right? Not much rapping. It's very moody. Very, you know, Trap Soul-esque. And he killed it. He killed that record. As long as the album, he did pretty good. The album's pretty decent, right? Nothing too much. Because I think that was, like, his first putting out of music, if I'm not wrong. But yeah, but this Kiss 5 is actually pretty good. It's decent listen. He reminds me a lot of Flip De Niro, except K-Camp is more of the, you know, West Coast, you know, LA kind of sound, when you know, Flip De Niro is more of a New York, Jersey type, East Coast kind of sound. They sound similar yet apart by, you know, the where they are, where, you know, their music comes from sonically. So, very interesting K-Camp album, I do gotta say. So, like, the first part of the album is actually pretty good. The features are pretty good. You know, we got Jacquees, we got R.E. Lee, we got Yella Beezy, we got Jeremiah, and that about does it, because most of it he does do, because he can actually sing and rap quite well. But like I said, hadn't listened to K-Camp, kind of forgot about K-Camp for a minute, so this kind of refreshed me, and I gotta say, so he has something, yet it seems like he's always missing something in his music. Fans of his will love this. Personally, I'm not a fan. I kind of find his music very Jacquees, Chris Brown-esque. So we have a lot of that right now. So I don't see any need for his music right now. So personally, I was bored. I was bored halfway through the album, I'm not going to lie. The sound production, like I said, sounds like we've heard it before. And this trope is going to start repeating itself now in 2020 because, you know, we've gone almost 10 years with the sound of, you know, 808 trap beats with R&B-ish, you know? So, it's starting to sound like, you know, hey, I think I've heard this before, or hey, I've heard somebody do this better before, you know? So, yeah, K-Camp kind of fell into that category for me throughout the album. Not to say the music is bad, the music is good, it's just like, hey, I think I've heard somebody do this better. So, yeah. Like I said, I was bored halfway through the album. So, it's 15 songs long. 46 minutes long. And, like I said, half of it's good, half of it's not. So, a solid 5 out of 10 for me. There's no other way of putting it. So, then we have K-Camp. Then, we have Kelly Uchis. Now let me, you know, say this from the jump. I am a huge Kelly Uchis fan. It's true. Like huge, huge. Well, I started listening to her way back in 2014, 2015. Around the same time that, you know, kind of Tyler the Creator put her on the map. I kind of followed along and became a huge fan of her music. I do gotta say so. So, yeah, to me, Isolation was a really good album back in 2018. You know, top 10 on my list, of course, because, you know, I was a huge fan by then. And the album was so, so good. So, with that being said, I'm gonna approach this as unbiased as I can. This is a little EP, 4 songs, 10 minutes. And in order for me to explain how good this album, let me describe to you somebody who may have not have heard of Kelly Uchis and her music. It's very melodic. Her vocals are very high-pitched yet whispery. It kind of might remind you of Billie Eilish. But she does it with much more, how can I say this? As Billie Eilish might do it in the punk, very like rock star type way, Kelly Uchis does it in a very calm, relaxed, and almost R&B type way, because her voice can sometimes get to like a high pitch of almost reminiscent of Amy Winehouse, but not to her level, because, you know, she will always be, you know, the GOAT of that kind of like jazzy vocals. So Kelly Uchis kind of gets to that level almost, right? And, you know, she does it on top of very calm, very relaxed music. But then she can also flip it and do it on top of, you know, Latin music. She can do it on top of, you know, reggaeton beats, which sounds great, in my opinion, right? So, that's Kelly Uchis. And this is kind of her EP. This is a perfect EP to listen to while, you know, quarantining. Like, it's great music to, you know, just listen to background music. As you can tell, I think you probably know that I love this, and I truly do. However, there are some bad spots. One track is, you know, quite skippable. I'm not gonna lie, the production here of a little bit too experimental, and her vocals as well. So, you know, not my taste for sure. But, you know, she tried something. I'll give her that. But, you know, it kind of, you know, it's an EP. I can't blame her. You got to do stuff like that on an EP. So, with that being said, I'd give this a solid 7 out of 10. Not her best, but not her worst by far. So, yeah. That does it for, you know, the Kelly Uchis deep dive. Okay, now, moving on to one of the albums I didn't know was coming out, but was pleasantly surprised by, was Feeva Foreign, 800 BC. As some of you listeners might know, I am a huge fan of the New York sound right now. I don't want to give myself credit, but boy oh boy did I love Pop Smoke when he put, you know, Welcome to the Party back in the end of 18 going into 19. Man, was that single great. And you know, most of 2019 he went silent until, you know, 2020. The late end of 2020 he started popping. You know, he was featured on that Travis Scott project right off the bat going into 2020, and I think that's when he kind of blew up, because boy did he carry Travis Scott on that Gotti record. And it's such a fun record listening back to it, and even to this day I still skip the Travis Scott verse, because Pop Smoke completely killed it. And you know, he put out his album, you know, but sadly he passed away. He did, you know, lose his life, and it's truly sad because he was on the way up. There was, you know, nothing but love going towards him, and, you know, in the matter of a day, in the matter of an hour, all of that went away. So, Feeva Foreign takes that sound, the Brooklyn grime, you know, sound, and kind of picks up the baton and goes with it. And I gotta say, 800 BC, such a fun album, man. I mean, if you're a fan of the sound, if you're a fan of Pop Smoke, listen to Feeva Foreign. They're not the same, and that's a fact. Like, they're not the same all around. They just continue that Brooklyn grime. They continue that sound that Pop Smoke kind of put on the map, and he manages to keep up. He manages to ride the wave just fine. And I gotta say, I'm a huge fan of Feeva Foreign, because he just does things right. This is a short project, 8 songs, 24 minutes. But this is a show that, hey, that sound is not going away anytime soon. It's here to stay. With features such as Meek Mill, Lil TJ, Lil Baby, and Quavo, he's got something going. So, I hope the sound prevails, and I hope to see greatness out of it, and I wish nothing but success to Feeva Foreign, and I really, really like this album. I don't know, but yeah, I'm very biased to this project. Solid 7 out of 10, like I said, it's a short project. I can't really give it a critical rating. I can't really deep dive into it, other than just say I'm proud of where he's going, and I'm proud of how he's taking this sound and, you know, pushing it forward. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, that about does it for all the albums. We're going to get to singles next. And let me tell you, big single, big, you know, colliding of the worlds. Travis Scott put out new single with Kid Cudi, called The Scots. And let me tell you, I did not like this. I know, it might come off as a surprise. So far, I've loved everything that Travis Scott has put out. Highest in the Room, Astroworld, even some of his other, you know, low-key features. I've loved everything he's done so far. Even, like I said, that Project EP he put out at the beginning of the year, even though I skipped that Gotti feature, everything else he was on in that project was amazing. So, this right here let me down big time. And I would like to not blame Travis Scott, but Travis Scott was to blame here. He kind of set the vibe wrong. Like, this track is a Travis Scott track, But Kid Cudi could not keep up. Kind of stumbled there. Kid Cudi could not keep up with Travis' flow. He tried. The first, like, six verses were all right. Then after that, it was like, oh boy, what is this? Like, I know it's been a while since we've heard, you know, Kid Cudi. But boy, is this a showing that, you know, Kid Cudi is not, you know, on top of his game musically all the time. I mean, he does have his moments of brilliance. And I'm sad to say this, but they kind of show off more when he's around Kanye than anybody else. I mean, he tried here with Travis. I sincerely think he tried his hardest, but it didn't come off good. You know, it might have sounded good in another, you know, kind of listening area, another listening, you know, experience. But at the end of the day, it's just not, you know, not top tier Travis or Kid Cudi. You know, this is mid. This is some solid mid tier, you know, music. So yeah, I was disappointed by this record, and a lot of people were hyping it up. To this day, I still don't understand the hype. Oh yeah. That does it for us. Then we have Righteous by Juice WRLD. You know, like, you probably know Juice WRLD did pass away. What was it? Last year? At the end of last year, I think. No, at the beginning of this year. No. I've got my timeline wrong. I don't really remember. So, yeah. After his passing, you know, people insinuated he had a lot of music. And he does. Certainly does. I mean, if you go back, he did an hour freestyle. And, you know, it was still good, even though it was an hour freestyle. You know, still so much content. And he loved to make a lot. So, we know he has a lot, you know. There's a lot. His producers have a lot from him. So, we're going to start hearing a lot of music from him. And this is an example of this. I like this record. But, you know, I have my fair share of criticism of post, you know, music from an artist once, you know, they've passed. I am more of the mindset to not put it out, you know. They didn't put it out for a reason. And sometimes I feel like fans are too emotional to an extent that, you know, they're like, no, let us hear it, let us hear it. For example, I'm a huge fan of Mac Miller. And after his passing, I really didn't mind if no more music came from him. I really didn't. I'm going to be honest with you. Am I glad that they put out, you know, that other album, Circles? Yeah, I'm glad they put it out. But I went into it understanding that that music is not 100% his. And like I said in the review of that album, I give most of my praise to the producer for being able to put this together in a way that makes it sound like Mac Miller said, yes, I want to put this out. The bad example, however, is the XXXTentacion music library. Like, Bad Vibes Forever by far is one of the worst, you know, postmortem album of all time. It's that bad. And it's happened. It's happened throughout the years. You know, it happened to Tupac. A lot of, like, murky and bad music was put out from him. He probably never wanted that music to be put out, but people just do it. And for me, it's hard to criticize that music because it's down to the fans at the end of the day. The fans want to hear it. They're going to get it most likely, you know? So, but this record's quite good. Sounds like it was finished. Sounds like, you know, it was just put away and, you know, they've put it out. However, I will start to worry once they put out unfinished stuff and stuff that is full of features because, you know, Juice WRLD maybe only did one verse and the hook and that's it. And, you know, they need to fill it in with features in order to make it a full-length track. That's when I'm going to start worrying, right? But for now, I'm glad they're putting this stuff out, you know, stuff that was ready to come up. And, you know, yeah, check out Righteous by Juice WRLD. Now, moving on to another single, we have All In by Lil Baby. Coming off of a successful album, he just keeps putting out music. This, you know, I'm starting to get a little oversaturated with Lil Baby music. I'm not going to lie. I kind of want him to go off the radar for like a couple months or two and then come back with something great, because this consistency that he's setting himself up for is very worrying. I don't know if you want to remember back in 2016-17, we had Quavo all over the place. And it was kind of annoying. Going into 2018, still hearing Quavo features everywhere. So yeah, I hope Lil Baby kind of, you know, slows down his music, you know, output. And kind of, you know, focuses on putting something out that's great, which I think he can do. He has the people around him to do it. So I'd suggest that. So check out the single if you want to. Like I said, it sounds like something you've heard off the album. I prefer you listen to the album more than this single, because, you know, album's way, way better. Then we have Last Sad Song by Rod Wave. Rod Wave put out his album about 2 weeks ago, a week ago? I can't remember. We've had a lot of music come out so far. But yeah, this is called The Last Sad Song, which, talking about, yeah, I know I make sad songs, but, you know, it's my reality. It's my sad reality that I, you know, I'm retelling, so it comes off sad. That's what the single's trying to say. However, he's more like, yeah, I've kind of, you know, expressed all my sad feelings. Now let's, you know, let's get lit. Let's get ready, because I'm going to put music that's happy. I'm going to put music that, you know, it's for the masses, right? But even though, you know, he kind of popped off the sad music, right? So, check that single out if, you know, you want to get the full take on it. And with that, we are done for this week's edition of Frequency Friday. I hope everybody has a great, great rest of your Friday. Great rest of the weekend. And we'll be back here for another episode or, you know, show next Friday, of course. Like I said, not a lot of music is going to come. But whatever comes out, I will be here to report. And I will be here to share my opinion, my unbiased opinion, of course. Here on Frequency Friday, I've been your host, Mondragon. And that about does it. Peace.